He had been working at the school for 30 years, first as a teacher, then as a dean, and eventually as an assistant principal. And he was nearing retirement and was feeling really frustrated and disheartened at how little progress the school had made since he'd been there at addressing racial achievement gaps and students' outcomes. And he called and just asked, could we come help? Could we help him figure out in a different way what is going on at the school?
And Amanda, if you could, just describe the research you did for this book, both the length of the research and the type of research.
So John and I, we began doing what Mr. Weber, as we name him in the book, asked us to do, which was interviewing low-achieving black students at the school. But for us, that was just a starting point. And as we began that work, we then sought out resources to do what we really knew needed to be done, which was a much more comprehensive project. So we ended up, over the course of four school years, interviewing over 170 members of the school district, including low-achieving and high-achieving black students and their parents, Latino students and their parents, white students and their parents, school staff, administrators, security guards, school board members, all that sort of thing. And along the way, throughout that time, spent a lot of time at the school, kind of informally participating in school events and hanging out.
What conclusion did you come to here? What was the reason for the big achievement gap in this district, given that the circumstances seem to be set up for it to do so well?
Well, there are a couple of things. Racial dynamics were functioning at multiple levels, both explicitly and subtly, in terms of resources, in terms of daily practices and interactions, to really fundamentally shape kids' experiences so that black and Latino students at the school were having really different kinds of experiences. And I'll give you just a few examples. One of the things we found was that teachers, personnel, despite their best intentions and really wanting all kids to do well, had held different performance expectations for different kids. Their sense of kids' trajectories, their sense of where these kids were headed, what they should push them towards, their sense of who belonged in honors and AP classes and who didn't, were in lots of very subtle ways shaped by race, and that those messages were then conveyed to students. So students were either pushed or not pushed into high-track classes. You know, some students would have teachers monitoring them as soon as they got a B in exam, asking what was going on, why weren't they doing better, and other students were told that a B in an exam was great, good job, you know, that sort of thing. And so the metaphor I use to capture it, because I think it's the only way to think about it, is sort of a death by a thousand cuts. What we found is lots of subtle things that over time add up to really different kinds of experiences.
What lessons do you think can be applied from what you learned at Riverview, and what from what you learned might be maybe a little unique to that particular district?
Generally in the U.S., and this is, I think, you know, manifests itself in Riverview, but is not unique to it, is an absence of a commitment to the entire community. Like, we often will offer platitudes about a kind of general commitment to everybody, but when it comes time to actually making decisions about how resources are going to get distributed in schools and elsewhere, a lot of that falls away. One example in terms of discipline that became very clear to us is that school districts either need to enforce the rules the same across the board or change the rules. Because what happens in a lot of districts, Riverview just being one of them, is that we say, here are the rules, right? If you're in the hallway without a pass, you get detention. And what you have is powerful parents who are often white pushing to get their kid exempted from consequences, right? And unfortunately, that works a lot of the time. And what we realized in talking to people and watching what happened is that it may be that the school rules are too punitive in some cases. But if they're on the books and they're being applied to some kids, they should be applied to all kids. Because what would happen then is that the parents who really do have a lot of power would have to push for the rules themselves to change. And they would change for everybody rather than just their kids constantly getting an exception. So those would be some of the kinds of things that we're pushing people to think about.
Now, this research you mentioned, you know, it was done over four school years, but this happened from in the early 2000s, from 2002 to through 2006.
Yeah.
Quite a bit of time between then and when the book came out. Talk about the process of getting this research into book form and how that worked.
Well, so John and I collected the data, I think, by the time we finally got out of the field, it was 2007-2008 school year. And then, you know, a lot of the analysis took place then. You know, the things that slow down the actual publishing of a book include both of us moving jobs, moving across country, and having the starting family semester. So the process of the actual writing of the book took longer than we had hoped. But we have circled back and been in touch with the district, you know, throughout that time. We recently gave a talk to a group of about 15 to 20 superintendents, along with a bunch of other administrators from districts like Riverview. And at the end of it, many of them came up to us and said, that sounds like my district. So we have been, you know, one of the part of the process for us as we wrote the book was circling around and trying to understand, had things been changing while we've been out of the field? What was different? And unfortunately, not a lot was changing. So we are, you know, the writing took a while, but we have kind of constantly circled back and tried to figure out, are there, you know, are they making progress? Are things, are they getting traction? And actually, our follow-up project that we're sort of beginning the process of now is trying to look at districts, Riverview and districts like it, that have been trying to make change and trying to understand where change has been successful, how, you know, what form has it taken and how has it happened?